All right, good morning, everyone. I said good morning, everyone. I had to use my deep, serious voice. It is that time of the, I would say time of the month again, when I'm allowed to do the welcome, but I think last Monday, I was skipped in favor of the more talented Jason Torres, but they let me come back today. We are coming off an amazing weekend last weekend for the youth. And it reminded me of something I always heard growing up about it takes a village to raise a child. Everybody's heard that, right? But it was taken to another level with me because I was the pastor's son and the teacher's son. So my village was on steroids. Everybody knew me everywhere. If I got in trouble, I probably got spanked at every house on the way home and then got spanked at home because everybody knew me. Like, you're that Miller kid, right? You know better than that. Come over here and let me spank you. It was just like that. They're like, you're such a great kid growing up. I had no choice. No place was safe for me. But I was reminded of that this past weekend. You know, you talk about the church being a part of that village that raises a child. But what I witnessed last weekend was the church having a village within itself. You know, we had so many people step up and come forward and help us and really make the weekend a success. You know, parents of students, people that didn't even have kids, you know, were stepping up and really pouring into our youth group. And it really went a long way in helping make the weekend a success. I learned a lot. We had some really deep spiritual connections. And the most important thing for me is, you know, just a couple weeks ago, you guys saw me up here getting ordained. It's a period of growth, not only for the youth group, but growth for me. And it's really special when we can grow together. Me, you know, in my infancy in the ministry, but also with the youth group. And I talked to a lot of them, and they really enjoyed the experience as well. But one conversation I had was with Hannah Holloway about her testimony, how she felt about the weekend. And she was kind of torn about being here. She does a lot for her mother on Sundays, and she just, last minute, she told me she just couldn't make it to give a testimony. But she gave me an email. She sent an email, and I'm going to read it to you guys just to let you know about, you know, how they felt about the weekend, just from one of their voices. Hannah says, "Hey everyone, I'm sorry I can't be with you today, but I wish that I could. Disciple Now weekend was a great experience, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. The Toms were incredible speakers. I understood what they were speaking about and got a lot out of them when I left on Saturday. They helped me understand my identity, and God showed me many things about myself, like to pay attention when he's trying to talk to me. He reminded me how far I've come in life and how he worked on me, like the potter does with clay." And she says, "I remember when you spoke about that, Brian. You can leave that out if you want, but I'm putting it in here. Being in the house with five other girls was interesting, but I made amazing friends that night. I also learned many things about other people who were there, and I got to pray with some of them. That was a huge blessing to me. Going to Sky Zone and then laser tag was a lot of fun, especially learning how to do a front flip on trampolines. In addition to, I would very much like to thank those who helped put everything together and made it special for all of us, the families who led us into their houses, the people who made sure we ate, those who prayed for us, and especially Pastor Brian, Tim, and Miss Bobby Joe, who always take care of us. I love you all so much, and I had an amazing time." So thank you all for really making last week great for the youth. As you see, it touched not only their lives, but my life as well. And for that, I'm truly, truly grateful. And on that note, welcome to Eagles Way. Thank you all.
Stand together and let's worship. The great thank you for your love that comes just and crashes over all the time. Lord, I thank you that you are strong in our brokenness. You're strong in our situation. You are strong in our circumstance. You are strong in our health. You are strong in our relationships. And Lord, we trust in you. We trust in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, that we are alive in you. Lord, that you have made us alive. And we thank you for that this morning. Amen. Tasted and seen every sweetest. church, if you would just close your eyes for 1 minute, just say thank you. Thank you to my Jesus, my creator, the good shepherd of my soul. Thank you to my friend and my father, my strength and my comforter, my redeemer and my deliverer, my rock. Just say thank you. Just take a minute just to revel in his beauty and his goodness and say thank you. Just take a deep breath and let all of it go and just say thank you. Thank you. God says, continue on this path with me, enjoying my presence, even in adversity. I'm always before you. I'm always alongside you. See me beckoning to you, come follow me. The one who goes ahead of you, opening up the way, is the same one who stays close and never lets go of your hand. I am not subject to limitations of time or space. I am everywhere at every time, ceaselessly working on your behalf. That is why your best efforts are trusting me and living close to me. And let these next words be a reminder that in the busy and in the mundane and in the struggle and in our weakness to be still, and make it a habit to every moment that weakness comes along, say, let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus. The first name I call, let it be Jesus. The song inside my soul, let it be Jesus. My life and my love and my gift to the earth. And we thank you, Jesus, for your gift. We thank you and we say, let it be Jesus. You are first. We seek you. We need you. We do want to be overwhelmed with you, God, and thank you for lighting our fire so that we can dance and we can sing, and we praise you today, God, and we thank you.
Christ, God, I breathe your name, Father. Let me see that devotion book you got there, Lord. People need to. It's good stuff, isn't it? I have this on my desk. If you ever want a great devotional book, it's called Jesus Calling. This is an awesome book to get. It really speaks directly to you and says some things that need to be said. You want it back? You want to take it?
It's mine now.
David said it's his now. All right, Dale, we want to pray for Nora this morning, but before I do, I just want to tell you that after our conversation yesterday and I hung up the phone, I just had this thought about you that you're one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And you deserve to be so commended for how you've been with your wife. And God, it's just so good to see Christ in the flesh walking around doing what they ought to do and being who they ought to be. And you will be enormously blessed for your love and faithfulness. So, Father, we just agree together. We speak healing and wholeness over Nora. Thank you for being with her over these last few months and protecting her and guarding her. Thank you, God, for supernatural strength that you can overshadow someone with. And we just thank you that that's going to happen with her. And we just speak good things over her today. And we just send forth our faith and our prayers and our hope toward her. Thank you, Father, for being so real. In Christ's name, amen. All right. You glad you're here? Glad you're here. You fill out this. If you're here this morning, would you fill this out, please? If you're a visitor, a guest with us for the first time, there's a gift for you as you go out the door. Please feel free to pick it up. What I want to do this morning, I want to share my favorite passages of Scripture, maybe in the Bible. And it's my favorite because I believe that these Scriptures declare to us the greatest revelation about who we are and who God says we are than anywhere in the Bible. You know, there are Scriptures that are Scriptures, and there are Scriptures that are Scriptures. There are Scriptures that God made the highlighter for, that it's so powerful and so good that you got to highlight it, and you got to look at it over and over and over and over again. And these are some Scriptures that mean that to me. I believe that these Scriptures are the foundation of the church. I believe that if we can grab hold of these, and you know, and they're well-known Scriptures. They're so well-known that they're quoted and alluded to so much. And what I want you to see this morning is that everybody believes this. Every denomination on the face of the earth believes these Scriptures, believe exactly what they say. They say what they mean, they mean what they say, and everybody believes it. Everybody believes these Scriptures. Every Baptist, every Methodist, every Episcopalian, every denomination that I know of believe these Scriptures. Believe it. But I wonder how many of us apply it. That we really not just believe it and see it, but I'm going to apply it to my life. The first one is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. But Before I read it, I want you to get the understanding of who Paul was. Paul was Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee. And Saul, after Christ was crucified and buried and resurrected and ascended into heaven, was so coming against the church. The church was under such persecution. They're being fed to lions. They're being stoned to death. They were being beheaded. And Paul was one that, in Acts it says, he was breathing out threats against the church. And I thought about that, man, that you're talking about some anger and some hatred to think that you're breathing out threats. You're not even saying it. It's in you so bad, yet you're breathing it out. He's just breathing out these threats. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and they said that after they took Stephen's cloak and they came and they dropped it next to the Apostle Paul. And one day Paul is on the road to Damascus, and there's this great bright light that shines so much that it blinded him. And Paul heard this voice, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Christ Jesus, whom you are persecuting." See, he thought he was persecuting the church. He thought he was persecuting other people. But Jesus said, "You're persecuting me." Can we see that in a different light today? Do you see that one statement that Jesus says? I hope you see that in the proper light that you've been taught. You are persecuting me. When you persecute them, you're persecuting me. The audacity for us to say who we are. The audacity for people to rise up and say we are Christ in the flesh. The audacity. I wish there was a church that believed that. And so Paul is transformed by this revelation. And before he writes this, before he writes any of his writings, before he writes one epistle, he says he did not confer with flesh and blood, but he went to Arabia. And for 3 years, Saul, who became Paul, spends 3 years getting a revelation of Jesus Christ. Just him and God and Jesus and Holy Spirit. And then he begins to write these epistles and preach this new message, telling people who they really are. And so in Philippians he says, "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obey the law without fault." It is said that the Apostle Paul could quote the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. He knew the law in and out. "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it at all as garbage, so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law." Boy, if we could ever come to that, if we could ever come to the place of stop trying to be righteous and just be righteous. "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. So, dippity-doo, that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Paul's not talking about a literal resurrection. "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me." I love the Old King James translation, it says, I want to apprehend him the way he apprehended me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Man, if we could just live every day like that. If we could just live every day. You know, there's Jesus was crucified between two thieves, and there's two thieves who want to steal from us always, and it's the thief of the past, and it's the thief of the future. That we're always living in the past or we're trying to live in the future when we just need to live in the present. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Another better translation of that, I want to reach my full potential in Christ. Do in order to become is the language of the Old Testament. The language of the New Testament is be because of what he has done. False systems of theology begin with men and work their way up to God. We must begin with God and work our way down to man.
Yes,
sir. Good. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Old translation says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to live by the faith of the Son of God? It means to live in the consciousness of the same sonship that Jesus enjoys, I enjoy. Jesus did not come to change God's mind about us. He came to change our minds about God.
Yes, sir.
He came to reveal to us who God really is. C.S. Lewis says, he was writing a book at the end of his life. He never finished the book, but he said, there's three images in my mind I must continually forsake and replace by better ones. My image of God, my image of my neighbor, and my image of myself. To be crucified with Christ, it means to bring absolute closure to every reference we have had of ourselves as a result of Adam's fall. How many has ever heard, I need closure? Closure we need is the closure that every reference I've ever had about myself and about other people before Christ, I need to replace it with a different reference point. Because I am not, and you are not, and nobody else is what they used to be. And if I keep referring to myself as that, I'll keep being that. But I stop referring myself to that and to refer to myself the way that God sees me, then that's the reference point that we need to get to. You see, once Christ died, then everybody, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, every country, every nation, every tongue, every language. Paul said, when he died, we all died. And when he resurrected, we all resurrected. We just have to see that. Okie dokie. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to do this one verse at a time. 8 verses of scripture that will change your life forever. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for how many? We also believe that we have all died to our old life. Christ's love control. Christ's love resonates within us. That's first and foremost. Because when his love controls us and resonates within us. And Paul said that's what made his life what it was. That's what drove him was Christ's love. You see, that's the driving force that has to be in every individual on the face of the earth. The driving force in us has to be Christ's love. That's the motivator. That's everything. Because there's nothing greater, is there? There's nothing greater. Faith, hope, and love. Now abideth these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love's the only thing that will last for eternity. One day you won't need faith. You won't need hope. Faith will be a reality and hope will be a reality. All you'll live in is perfect love for eternity. That's a good thing to look forward to, isn't it? Then the next verse he says, in verse 16, dippity-dippity-doo. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. Because of his love, it leaves us with only one conclusion. Jesus died for everybody. And that we all died, and that we've all been resurrected. You know, Paul said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's a powerful scripture. That's a powerful thought. The same spirit that entered into a tomb and resurrected a man from the dead, he said it dwells in us. It dwells in us. And then verse 16, he says, 17 rather, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. And a new life has begun. That old life is gone and a new life has begun. Human life has been redefined. We're no longer labeled what we used to be labeled. We no longer can say what we can say about it. We stop seeing ourselves in an old way and we start seeing ourselves in a brand new way. Let me tell you, this should fuel us so much with compassion for people who don't know who they are. Because Christ died for all and Christ, God is in all and they need to come to recognition of that, it should drive us with a greater compassion than ever before. You know, I find myself, I'm around people that know God all the time. I work with people, I go to lunch with people, I eat with people, I fellowship with people who know this. I want to get around some people who don't know this. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I want to get around some people who don't know this. You know, there are three things, the vision of this church, that we believe that we want to be devoted to Christ, we want to be irrevocably committed to one another, and we want to be compassionate for the lost. Well, the greatest compassion for the lost could possibly be is that we see them in a different light, and we just... You know, I saw a man walking down the road the other day, and I thought, there's a man who doesn't know who he is. And somebody needs to tell him who he is. And when that happens, Christ is birthed in him, and he's born again, and he sees things from a brand new light. You see, we got to see people not in the light that we got to see them the way God sees them. And when we begin to do that, I believe it'll fuel our compassion for people like never before. Don't you? And I want to get around some good old mean people. I want to get around some folks that don't know who they are so I can tell them who they are and tell them, stop being a hypocrite. You're acting, that's not who you are. That's who you think you are, but that's not who you are. And get them the revelation of who they are. Because once that happens, something brand new happens in their life. Amen? And I love being around y'all too. I really do. I want to be around y'all, but I just want to get around some good old hardcore sinners. I just want to get around some people just and say, hey, stop. That's not you. That's not who you are. Just give them a revelation. I took Chet fishing yesterday, and I was throwing and fishing for bass, and I was throwing the lure out and reeling it in, and Chet looked at me and said, Gaga, you got to be patient. Gaga, you're not being patient. And I said, who made you such a fisherman? And then I kept, and I'd throw out and reel in again. He said, Gaga, you're not being patient. And I said, oh, I know where he's coming from. I usually take them down to the pond. I take some worms, and I throw it out with a cork, and I tell them to be patient. And so he sees me throwing it out and reeling it in. He says, you're not being patient. You're not. And I had to get a revelation of where he was coming from. We need to get, people just need a revelation of who they are. Now, because of this, verse 18 says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. That's our mandate, to just go reconcile people to God. And stop trying to win people to Christ and just go reconcile them to God. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Stop trying to straighten them out and just say, God forgives you. And by the way, this doesn't just go for everybody out there. It goes for your husband, your wife, too. It's how you see them. And so he says, just reconcile people to God. Just be reconciled to God. That's your mandate. Verse 19 says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Wow, what a loving God, isn't he? He don't count people's sins against them. Now, don't run out of here saying, dippity-doo-da, dippity-day. Now I can go and do what I may. No, this should drive us to be more of what? Then this next verse I love, verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. I'm just going to let that one. You get that revelation yourself. Come back to God. Be reconciled. Come back to God. What do you mean come back? You've always been with God. Come back. There's a story in Luke chapter 15. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. It's been so misunderstood. It's not the parable of the prodigal son. It's the parable of the father. It's the parable of a loving father. And so, you know the story. He gets his inheritance, he leaves, and while he's gone, he loses everything, goes with prostitute, just lives a terrible, horrible life. And one day, he's feeding pigs. He says, my father has got so much, and I think I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go back home. And the Bible says while he was on his way back home, his father saw him from afar off. The father saw him before he saw him. And he goes to him, loves him, kisses him. Son wasn't expecting that. Reminded me of a story in the Old Testament. Jacob had deceived Esau. And Jacob had thought for years and years and years, Esau hates me. Esau hates. Somebody let that bird in. Esau hates me. And so he's finally going to come to this meeting place with him. And so as he goes, he's got all of his servants with him. His wife. He sends them all ahead of him. He sends all these gifts out there and says, just go make peace with Esau. And he didn't know that when he finally got to Esau, Esau fell on him and kissed him. What he thought Esau had thought all those years that kept him estranged from his brother, Esau didn't think that way. But he thought that. And so the son gets all this love of the father, but he's got a brother home. And his brother gets really upset. His brother says, father looks at his brother and says, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset? He says, and his elder brother says, daddy, I've been here with you all this time. I've never left you. I've worked for you. I've done for you. And you've never given me a fatted calf. You never gave me a ring. You never put a robe on me. And I've been here the whole time. How many, before we judge that elder brother, I got a feeling that everybody here would have done the same thing. I guarantee you, if Eddie had gone and did what he did, and he come home and Daddy go and do for Daddy, Eddie, what this guy did for that son, I'd look at E.D. and say, whoa, dude, I'm the preacher. I'm Pastor Buren. I've never done all that, but here's this scumbag who comes home and you give him all this stuff. That don't make sense to me. Every one of you would do the same thing. But then the father gives the revelation that the elder brother never had. Son, everything I have is yours. You just hadn't asked for it. It's yours. You'd have any fatted calf you want. You can have all the robes you want. You can have all the rings you want. You can have it. What a revelation. It's like the guy went on a cruise ship and he took saltines and cheese and ate saltines and cheese the whole cruise and got through the cruise and didn't realize that everything, all the food was provided. It was paid for. It had already been purchased. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Verse 21. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be right with God through Christ. The great exchange. He embraced our distortion. He took our sins and our sorrows and our griefs. And he became sin. And we became innocent. I said it that way because I think we don't get the message sometimes. We think we become the righteousness of God. What does that mean? He died for our sins so that we can become innocent. The Lord has demonstrated His holy power before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Kings will stand speechless in His presence, for they will see what they have not been told. They will understand what they have not heard about. Then you get this great prophetic scripture. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He'll spring up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And He has no form of comeliness, and we shall see Him. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. But He was beaten and He was smitten of God. Surely He's borne our sorrows and He's carried our griefs. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are made whole. And all we have to do is believe that. And it's for every nation, it's for every man, it's for every boy, it's for every girl to be awakened to the fact of what Christ has done and that God has reconciled everything back. It's not one day going to be reconciled. It's already been reconciled. It's not one day going to happen. It's already happened. The reconciliation will come out of the fact that we realize the reconciliation has happened. When we realize that reconciliation has happened, then we'll see what really needs to happen in the earth as a whole. But you've got to see, and I've got to see, every person in a different light. You got to see people of other nations from a different light. You got to see people of another color from a different light. You got to see people from another background in a different light. You got to see everybody in the light that God sees everybody. Because God just sees one people, one family, one earth, all that are offspring of Him. For we are His offspring. Everybody came from God. Everybody came from God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, at the end of it, it says, and we sang a song this morning. It said, we're more than flesh and bone. We're way more than flesh and bone. The Bible says, when you die, your body will return to the dust from which it came, but your spirit will return to God from where it came. See, you've always been. You're an eternal being. You always have been. One day God just looked over and said, I think I'm going to let you go to earth. I'm going to let you get into a human body. And you're going to be a spiritual being in a human experience. And that's what happened. So you say, I didn't come from Cali, May. But God just gave her this wonderful gift for a while. He just decided, I'm going to put myself in Him. And so what God did, He took a part of Himself and He put in every person. He took a piece of Himself and He put it in here. And took a piece of Himself and put it here and here and here and here. That's what God did. Amen? And we just have to be awakened to that. That in Him we live and we move. We have our being. I want you to close your eyes. And you're here this morning, and you've never just said, I'm going to be awakened today. I'm going to be born again, born anew by the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to believe what Christ came to do. I'm just going to place my faith in that. And by placing my faith in that, I'm going to be born again. And I'm going to be alive in God, and God alive in me. Just lift up your hand and say, I want to do that today. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I want to do that today. That's all it takes is an acknowledgement of it. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you. That's all it takes is an acknowledgement. Now, Father, today we thank you that you gave Christ. You brought him to this earth so that we could all be reconciled to you. We could all come back to our original meaning and original purpose in life. And Lord, we receive that today by faith in Christ. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask the elders to come. We're going to receive communion this morning. Communion is a remembrance of what Christ did for us. And as you take this bread and you take this juice, as remembering that what Christ did for us is on a continual basis, and it is, has been, and will be forevermore what it is in us through Him. I can't help but laugh at myself this morning. I usually when I do something like this and I feel about what I just did, I feel bad and I kind of go home and feel bad. I'm kind of laughing about it this morning, but this message didn't come across nothing like I thought it would, and I just overcooked this thing, right? Sometimes you cook stuff and you just throw so much in there and you just overdo it. And I knew halfway through this thing, you just overcooked this thing, boy. You just overcooked it. So I apologize for this morning overcooking this message. I'm trying to get something across. But anyway, I'm laughing about it now. I'm not going to go home and be upset about it. It was not a good one, but we brought the plane in anyway. And it's landed, and we're all safe and sound. Amen. This is his body, which is broken for us. Take in remembrance of me. This is his blood, which was shed for remission of our sins. We receive it.
You may be seated.
If you got your connection cards, make sure that you have filled them out. Know that there was a little discrepancy between the bulletin and the card. The card had the chicken and egg lunch on the 27th, but it is the 20th. The bulletin was correct, so it'll be on the 20th. We figured out which came first, the chicken or the egg. So we decided to celebrate it on the 20th because immediately following the service, there's going to be a chicken sandwich lunch before the children's egg hunt. That we're not putting fried eggs on the chicken sandwich. Okay? So, if you are interested in being a part of that, we will be prepared for you. All you have to do is show up. The donations for that are going to finish the children's. The ladies' ministry has been working on the children's project. So that painting and all of those accessories and things, new video stuff, is going in all before Easter. So we are very excited about that. The 19th of the month, which is a Saturday, is a very important day because there is a lot going on. We have several of you that have signed up for Russian Hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We want you to do that. We need everybody else to be here from 8:30 to 12 for a church work day. So we have a couple hundred bales of pine straw that will be coming that we have to disperse and make our place beautiful. We do all of that the Saturday before the holiday weekend. So Easter coming up on the 27th. So don't forget that this Saturday night you need to set your clock forward. We are springing forward Saturday night. If you do it about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll never miss it. Okay? If you do it about 3, if you wait until 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, just put it forward, you're going to have trouble getting up the next morning. So go ahead and set it forward. That way you don't miss service. We'd hate for you to walk in about 11 o'clock and us be getting ready to dismiss. So make sure you plan it. Ushers, go ahead and be coming, receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house and your giving. Several of you have begun giving online, which is fine. If you choose to do it that way, you go to the church website, click on give. You can give it that way. It's very secure. So either way that you decide to do that, or if you use an envelope with cash, or if you write a check and put the information at the bottom, however you choose to do that, we appreciate that. I don't think there was any other announcements I needed to hit. So we would like to, CEOs, Christians, come to Easter or Christmas and Easter only. We want to start eliminating that. So you need to find someone that isn't a church attender and invite them on Easter, because who can say no to going to church on Easter? Okay? And then you can continue to get them to continue coming and being a part of, to me, what I think is the greatest body of Christ in Griffin, Georgia. Don't you agree, Jim? I know you do. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. We can bring it to the house of God. Lord, I thank you for every person that has brought their talents today. Lord, these musicians, our children's teachers, those that helped with the coffee and donuts, Father, Lord, and gave of their time and their talents. Bless them mightily. Lord, use it for the furtherment of your kingdom. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Stand and let's worship.
This whole world.